Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kitten, with me Joyce Goh. And on the line we have Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank in Singapore.
Hi, Vishnu. Singapore is due to announce its November inflation and industrial production data today. So what can we expect from the announcement and what will the impact be on markets?
Well, to be quite honest about it, it'll probably be a little bit boring, if anything. I think inflation will be pretty much the same as it was in October. So it'll be just about a half a percentage point region for the headline inflation and about 1.5 for core inflation. Industrial production would slow down a little bit from low double digit to about between 8 to 9% per year-on-year growth. But on the markets, there will be very little impact because I think it's already been priced in that fourth quarter there will be a slight slowdown in manufacturing, and that picture will then evolve further in 2018. So markets are not going to overreact at this point of time.
Also this week, Japan is due to announce its industrial production for November. What's your take on this? Recently, the Japanese government raised its assessment of industrial production for the first time in a year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the Japanese government wanted to be very sure about it before raising it, but the writings were already on the wall. I mean, we did see this year that electronics globally performed very well, so electronics exports were boosted tremendously. That gave a nice fillip to Japan's exports, both in nominal terms, that's to say in their value terms, and in real terms. So the volume of shipments from Japan also rose very strongly. So certainly this fed into the industrial production with exporters having more business coming their way. And I think that is a very probably a very solid assessment. In 2018, probably it'll remain buoyant, but will probably not accelerate as much.
Well, the market is also expecting Japanese retail trade data this week. Annual Japanese retail sales fell for the first time in a year for October. So can we expect the same for November data?
We'll get the technicality out of the way. I think in November, we'll see a reversion back to expansionary retail sales. So retail sales are expected to grow as we come across or we get across the base effects. But really, retail sales remains very bifurcated. If we look at it very closely, the signs remain that households remain rather restrained in their spending and consumption. So Japanese households are not spending tremendously, whereas a lot of that boost is coming from tourism and tourist dollars. So I think that this is one reason why PMRB and the Bank of Japan remain quite focused on trying to raise wages and trying to get people to spend.
Do you think retail sentiment and household spending will improve moving forward?
There are some signs that they could begin to improve. I mean, if we see a continued improvement in industrial production and the job situation, and also I think if PMRB is successful in negotiating some of the wage increments it's looking for, this might feed a little bit into some of the confidence. Also, we could also see some of the effects from 2020 Olympics preparation. So those kind of activity picking up, giving a further fillip. What we remain mindful and quite cautious about is the further increment to VAT that's been planned from 8% to 10%. So that might be one of the spanners in the works if it once again dents household spending sentiments.
Speaking about retail sentiment, Singapore's consumer confidence has risen to 94 points, up 5 points from last quarter. This is according to a survey by Nielsen. So are things improving in the city-state?
Yes, they are definitely improving. I think similar to Japan, I mean, they do share some exports characteristics. So Singapore's exports was also boosted, and that has fed through a little bit to manufacturing. And I think this is one reason why we can actually quite safely say, yes, things have improved somewhat. But the risk is that the survey overstates the actual economic improvement. I mean, one of the reasons why sentiments has picked up so strongly is also due to how stock markets have performed. They are up just over 5% in just the time from end September till now. And that certainly overstates the actual economic improvement. The property market has also been picking up. So what we don't want to get carried away by is the asset market improvements that have run well ahead of the underlying economic fundamentals.
Last week, the Bank of Japan meeting kept its policy rate unchanged. And according to the central bank, the economy is growing moderately and inflation will continue to rise. So what's your take on this? And do you expect a rate rise next year?
Well, I think the Bank of Japan is a very long way off a rate rise. What the Bank of Japan is probably doing is underpinning some of the confidence that we've seen around the economy in terms of how industries have picked up and how they want this to feed into confidence with the manufacturers and the corporates so that they would in turn give some wage increments and create a positive cycle. But I think Governor Kuroda has been quite clear that the economy would still do well with the accommodation that the bank is providing. And next year, I think it is still a tad too premature to revoke any of that policy accommodation. So they're quite a way off a rate rise. What we want to look out for is how they continue to support the economy.
Speaking about next year, we are very near the new year. So what's your prediction for the world economy and markets come 2018?
I think it is going to be a rather bifurcated but interesting enough outlook. For us in Asia, we are seeing some of the buoyancy that we saw this year continuing. So exports will continue to be quite strong, but it will not be as strong as in 2017. So the pickup is not going to be as emphatic. And what's interesting for us to see is whether some of that strength broadens into the domestic economy. So far, we've seen that the domestic economic strength has lagged. 2018 is also going to be packed with quite a bit of political events in Asia. And in the U.S. as well, they've got the midterm elections. So we want to see whether any of the rhetoric around America First policy steps up. And that means there's more disruption to the global economy. So our big picture is the global economy remains stable, improving slightly at the margin. But there are some disruptive forces, be it geopolitics or just the elections talk. And we want to see how China continues to manage its credit constrained policy versus supporting growth and whether that's a possible sign of any shocks to the economy as well.
Let's zoom in closer to home. What's your view on the Southeast Asian markets and economies for the new year?
I think going into the new year, the first part we'll continue to see momentum that's carried over in terms of electronics, exports, so on and so forth. So that would be quite a supportive backdrop. But going into the second half of the year, I think it'll become a little bit more interesting because one of the big events for us in terms of policy is the U.S. Federal Reserve has already started reducing the size of its balance sheet. Put another way, they're withdrawing money from the economy, but at a very slow pace. What offsets that on a global basis that actually feeds off or feeds down into Southeast Asia is you get the European Central Bank still pumping global liquidity that's finding its way into our part of the world. But as of September next year, the ECB could also stop. And if they do, then that's when we want to see whether some of this withdrawal of liquidity turns out to be a little bit of a financial shock for the region. Otherwise, the underlying economic fundamentals point towards sustained but maybe moderated improvements. So what we really watch out for are financial shocks that come about from policy.
Thank you, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank in Singapore.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell and Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.